Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is the C-Jack Podcast. I am your host, C-Jack, and today we're going to be doing a SummerSlam review. We are going to review the pre-show as well as the pay-per-view itself that aired last Sunday on August 20th, 2017. I think it was the 30th annual SummerSlam, if I'm remembering correct. It's like the 30th or 32nd. I will look that up while I'm doing the podcast and verify that with you guys in a few. But I got a few things on my mind as far as pros and cons of the whole pay-per-view and what they maybe could have worked on a little bit better. What I thought was pretty awesome. So we're going to go ahead and dig into that. Hang on for me just a second. Well, I guess no matter how long it takes, I can always edit out some of the dead silence and it'll just be a second for you guys anyway. From what I'm seeing online, guys, it is the 32nd annual SummerSlam that was this year. And before we get into all of the podcast and we start breaking this shit, son of a bitch, down and talking about it a little bit, and I give you my review, my opinion, and everything on it. Excuse me, guys. I just want to say I'm not really going to be on YouTube a whole lot anymore, guys. I'm still going to go ahead and post the show, but it's going to be very delayed as far as up to date and everything. I am posting everything first on Castbox. You can find it online at castbox.fm, or you can find the app live on the iTunes or the Google Play Store. It's free to download, free to listen to, and you can find any podcast on there, guys. That's kind of why I went to there. Is I was looking around. I listened to Austin's podcast and Edge and Christian's podcast, Bill Burr's podcast. I listen to all my fucking podcasts on there, guys. And I mean, they got all the Podcast One podcasts. They got iTunes podcasts. They got any podcast on there you're going to want. So I went to Castbox. And you can find me on Castbox at, if you just go to the search bar and you type in C-Jack Podcast, I'm pretty sure if you just type in C-Jack, it's me and one other dude that pops up on there. You'll see my picture there. Click on it. It'll be called either C-Jack. I think I got it under C-Jack Podcast. I either have it on under C-Jack Show or C-Jack Podcast. If you give me just a second, I can look it up. And there are two versions of the CastBox app. There is a purple version and a orange version. The orange version is more up to date, but either one works. And the channel is under the C-Jack Show. And there'll be a description there about how it's the official site and everything. Like I said, there's a picture of me, you know, on there. And yeah, that's where I'm going to start posting my podcasts on. And I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have them dropping on Thursdays for the CastBox. And I will go ahead and leave YouTube as Sunday. So Sundays you will have me drop the podcasts on YouTube unless something happens. And they may be a couple days, maybe a day or so late or something. But I am going to make sure I definitely get everything out on CastBox on time or early. There may be a few times where I drop it a little bit early, you know, maybe Wednesday night. You might be able to catch it on there. But it will be on there Thursday morning bright and early by the time you get up. So with that being said and done, you will be able to find my podcast early access on CastBox. It is going to still be free of charge. It's just going to be more relevant to the events going on and what has happened in the WWE and entertainment is in general, as far as video games and everything else. Yeah, and it's going to be like a week old news by the time you hear it on YouTube. I mean, it's still going to be a good show. You're still going to get your laughs and everything in that of my, me being an idiot, I guess. But just going to be, you know, a little bit older. So however you want to listen to it, just make sure you go ahead and you do rate and review. You hit that like button, you subscribe, and leave a comment. You know, I'm on Twitter at OnlyOneCJack. Go ahead and find me on there. Comment if you have a question. Go ahead, ask me any question you want. I'll answer it live on my show when I on the following week. And you know, we're just gonna do this thing. So anyone's got a question, go ahead and ask me, and I will answer it. I will answer it live on my show. I do read any email you get. You send me, well, email, tweet, whatever you want to call it. You send me a message or anything, I am going to answer it. Or I will answer it live on my show first, and then I will send you back I will send you a reply also. If you tweet, I will retweet it. So that's how we're going to do this now. So let's see. Without further ado, I believe we're going to go ahead and get into the body of this podcast. Give me a second to take a drink real quick, guys. That's some good alcohol right there, guys. All right. So SummerSlam review, we're going to review this pre-show first. And before we actually review the pre-show itself as a whole, I want to say that I was very disappointed in whole for the pay-per-view. And it was an extremely long pay-per-view, guys. Between the pre-show and the actual show as a whole, between the kickoff pre-show, whatever you want to call it, and the actual event, SummerSlam, it was over 6 hours. You had the 4-hour SummerSlam event, and you had a 2-hour kickoff show. And I think it was just a little over 6 hours. It was four hours and so many minutes and so many seconds. But I think it was like 4 hours and 4 minutes or something like that. But yeah, you had just a little over 6 hours of programming altogether, and they have a hard time keeping 3 hours in Raw every week entertaining. I mean, I understand you have both brands on here, so yeah, maybe doing a 4-hour show in whole wouldn't be too bad, but making it 6 hours of just WWE programming, it's hard to keep fans and entertained for 6 hours, let alone on the television. You could really tell by the halfway through point that the crowd was really starting to get kind of tired and everything and getting kind of bored. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into the pre-show part. Jason Jordan and the Hardys versus The Miz, and I'm going to just call them the A-listers. It's his cronies, if you will, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Who I'm calling the A-listers. I don't really know if that's their name or not. That's the name I'm giving them. So, I mean, if that's not their name, maybe I just created a name for them, and maybe we'll see that on WWE programming soon. And hey, that'd be kind of cool, right, guys? So that's the first match, and here's the problem I seen with this match is that there's nothing wrong with the match itself. I mean, it was actually a pretty good match, but it was just a simple fact that they threw this match on just a little too early, because it was a pretty close to empty arena when this match started and as it was going on, because they opened the doors at 4:00, I believe, and security was being very, very cautious, I guess it would be the word, but I know it was a bitch to get through from what I've heard as far as news stories and everything. And they had this match at 4:00. The doors opened at 4:00 from what I hear, just I'm trying to make sure I get my facts straight. So I know I just repeated that, but doors opened at 4 and this match took place at 4:30. That only gives people half an hour to start getting into a show. And when you're live in New York, which is one of the big, which is one of the biggest major cities in the United States, it's a sold out arena. You're in the Barclays Center. Sorry, guys. Started there a minute. It is going to be a minute before everybody starts getting in and getting settled. And I don't think a half an hour is long enough after the doors open to start having matches. Just because not many people are going to see it. And I understand it's not an important match at all, really. But it does have some good competitors in it. I mean, the Hardys are phenomenal competitors. I know I throw that word around a little bit more than I should. But I really try to keep it tuned toward the performers that are really outstanding. And the Hardy Boys are outstanding performers and competitors. They have been around for probably one of the longest, longer than a lot of the guys back there in the locking room. And but Jason Jordan, he's a really good up and comer. And The Miz, he's a great competitor as well. And so is Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. I mean, all six of these guys were great competitors. And I don't think it was deserving for them to have a match that is going to be televised in a damn near empty arena. I mean, it's not like it's a dark match or anything. It's not like it's any, you know, up-and-comers that are still trying to make a name for themselves or anything. And even then, these guys need to get some respect. It needs to get a chance to either earn respect or get respect they kind of deserve. Because, I mean, all six of these competitors here, they've put in work to get to where they are as far as being in the WWE. And for them to be treated, you know, like second-class superstars isn't the best thing in the world. But I mean, nonetheless, it was a pretty good match. So I mean, even if you hadn't seen it, you know, because you were maybe in the crowd trying to get in the arena or whatever, or you just didn't get a chance to watch the kickoff pre-show, man, you really missed a pretty good pre-show, because this was a great match to kick off the SummerSlam pay-per-view. I mean, it's six-man tag team action. I love tag teams. And you can never go wrong with the Hardys. All right, so moving along, we have the Akira Tozawa versus Neville for the Cruiserweight title. And if you guys listen to my prediction podcast for the SummerSlam, I touched base on this a little bit. I had a feeling this was going to happen, but I really didn't want it to. I really didn't want this to happen, but I knew it was going to. And that is the fact that they were going to do a Cruiserweight title on the pre-show. It never fails. They always put the fucking Cruiserweight title up, the title match for the Cruiserweights, on during the pre-show. It's kind of like saying, well, we give you your own show, but you're not good enough to be on the main show. It's kind of what I feel like they're doing. Which, I mean, they won't let up on fucking 205 Live for anything. They won't kill that show. They just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And they get rid of good shows to keep 205 Live around. But yet, they don't want to give these guys the airtime they deserve on the actual main program, main card, and they want to throw the fucking title matches for them on, you know, on the pre-show. And it never fails. I don't think I've watched a pay-per-view yet for the Cruiserweight title, or a pay-per-view match for the Cruiserweight title yet, that hasn't been on the damn pre-show. And I'm sorry if you hear the air conditioner in the background. It just happened to kick on because it's hot up in this motherfucker. And I'm sitting right in front of it. It was off, but it kicks on. It kicks on and off a little bit. I got it on the automatic setting, so if you hear a little bit of buzzing in the background, that's most likely what it is. It's my fucking AC kicking on and off. All right, so got a little sidetracked there, but as I was saying, that cruiserweight title match on the pre-show, I don't agree with it, but they keep doing it. Hopefully, we'll eventually start seeing that get moved to the main card. And this was a match I really thought should be on the main card just because Tozawa and Neville, they're both really good competitors. I mean, I could see cruiserweight matches being on the pre-show if it wasn't for a title. But the fact that it's for a title, I don't think title matches should be on the pre-show. Just because if it's a title match, I think it should. I think the titles themselves, you should give the respect to the competitors, you know, competing for that title, and show respect, show enough respect for that title, and show if you're trying to push something like that, to put it on the main card instead of saying, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, we'll just throw it on the pre-show. Because it's kind of what it sounds like they're doing, guys. I know I'm sounding kind of like a beating a dead horse or something here, but it's just kind of one of those things, you know. It just kind of really irks me a little bit. Yeah, it just kind of grinds my gears, if you know what I'm saying. The third match on the pre-show was the New Day versus Usos. Oh, I forgot to mention, on that cruiserweight title, Neville did walk away with the win and gain the cruiserweight title back from Tozawa. Okay, now moving along, SmackDown tag title match for between New Way, who was your tag defending champions, and Usos, who were in the rematch to get it back. Again, another title match on the fucking pre-show. How many times do I gotta say it? Show enough respect for these fucking championships and the competitors within the matches to put them on the goddamn at least main card. That's the only thing that burns my ass here, is the fact that it's on a pre-show. I mean, they're great matches, don't get me wrong. And every match on the main card was a great match. I mean, there was a couple of them that could have been better, but there wasn't really a bad match on the card, per se. So, with that being said, Usos walked away with the win, regaining the championship. Second match in a row where championships changed hands. Maybe a little bit of foreshadowing going on here for the remainder of the night. You'll find out here coming up soon. Moving ahead. Now we're going to go on to the actual show, which started off with John Cena versus Baron Corbin. It was a pretty good match overall. I mean, wasn't bad. I mean, it was pretty. I would say it was one. It was a great one to start off the main show, considering they fucked away their two other worthy matches to start off the show by doing them in the pre-show. So I guess third best is to have Cena versus Corbin, and like I say, it was pretty good. Sorry about that, young guys. So yeah, Cena versus Corbin was really good. I'd say probably about 3 or 4 star match. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad. About what you could come to expect between Cena versus Corbin. I didn't think it went too long either. I thought it was just kind of right there in that sweet spot as far as length and everything. It kept me entertained throughout the entirety of the match. And that's what I look for when I'm really kind of grading these matches and stuff, is how entertained was I? Did I start to get bored with it? Did I think it went too long? Did it just kind of start getting ridiculous? How much did it have me on the edge of my seat? And I'll say there was quite a few good high spots in this match. And Corbin was really doing a good job and playing the kind of, I don't want to say spoiled brat, but playing, you know, the I want revenge because you made you You made me lose my chance at the championship against Cena, and in the end, it ended up kind of costing him that W, and Cena walked away with the win. And that's that. So moving on, the second match was the SmackDown Women's Title match for Natty, who is the challenger, versus Naomi, who is your defending champion in that match. This was another great match. I gotta say, I was really excited for this match. And as much as I didn't want to see Naomi lose it, I wanted to see Natty walk away from it, the winner, because Natty is probably another one of the hardest working women in the WWE today. I ain't saying she is the hardest working. I'm just saying she's probably one of them. Naomi's another hardworking one. But either way this match ended, I wasn't going to be upset, just because of the simple fact I love both of these women. I love what they do, and I respect both of these women very much. Natty is probably one of the toughest women in the division, if not one of the greatest, most experienced women in the division. Naomi, she has molded herself and her character over the past few years, and she's created a great character that a lot of people can get behind. I love the way she incorporates her entertainment. She's very charismatic. She's very entertaining between her entrance and the way she has her own specific moveset. I don't think there's anybody else that kind of does moves as well as the way Naomi does, and the kind of moves Naomi does. I think Naomi kind of puts her own spin on everything, and she does a very well job at that, as well as Natalya does too. Natalya does a very good job at putting her own spin on the Hart family legacy and what it means to be a Hart nowadays. But like I said, I wasn't upset at all with the outcome of this match. I was entertained. I'd probably say this was at least a four star match, and Natalya walked away with a W. Natalya won the championship yet again. Third title in a row. Changed hands at this year's SummerSlam. Alright, the third match was Big Show versus Big Cass, with Enzo Amore suspended above the ring. This match had some good parts and had some bad parts. I tend to think it may have ran just a cut hair too long, but it is what it is. I think the whole show as a whole kind of ran a cut hair too long. Me as a viewer, along with I could hear the crowd's reaction watching it toward the middle of the match, people started getting kind of disinterested in it, and it started to be kind of running a little too long. And I mean, the whole idea with the Enzo thing, I knew something was going to happen, and lo and behold, guess what? Enzo Amore was in that shark cage above the ring. Lo and behold, something did happen. Enzo Amore stripped down to nothing but his fucking skibby wibbies and decided to oil himself up, which is something I really could have done without seeing an oiled up Enzo Amore. But either way, Enzo Amore stripped down to his skibbies, put some baby oil on him, slipped out of the shark cage, you know, slipped between the bars, jumped down on top of Cass, and wait, he didn't land on Cass. He jumped down to try to distract Cass, and didn't really work out so well for him. And Cass still walked away with the win. I do want to mention that Big Show did a great job in this match as far as playing off the broken hand, playing on the broken hand and not using it really. He did a great job as far as improvising and becoming quote unquote left-handed for this match and doing a lot of the normal moves he does with his right hand with his left hand, because he had his right hand all taped up. And he did a great job, you know, as far as kayfabing the fact that his right hand was broke for the match. And I mean, I want to give big props to Show for that, because there's a lot of guys that would probably have fucked that up one way or another, and where it wouldn't suspend your belief completely. He had my belief suspended the whole match, the way he was acting with his hand, with his right hand. I mean, I legitimately thought throughout the whole match he was competing with a broken right hand. So, but I mean, it is the Big Show. Big Show is a very, very good performer. He's probably another one of the longest running in the business. He has been around since the I think mid-90s, since he debuted in WCW as the Giant. So he's one of the longest running veterans in that locker room, if not the longest performing veterans in the locker room at this point, and in the best shape of his life. So I mean, I gotta give it up for Big Show. What will we see next for Big Show? It's hard to say. Will the Big Show decide to not be on TV for a little while? I know he doesn't really care to be on TV that much. So it's yet to be discovered for if Big Show is just kind of goes back to doing live events for a little bit, but or if he still stays on TV. But like I said, Cass walked away with the win on this one. Moving along. Okay, let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. Now, you could probably, I have it, don't take this for definite, but if I was a betting man, I could probably guess you could go back and just watch this one. Because this match, it has no highlights. The highlights are the match. I mean, it was that short. It was funny, but it was that short. So I'm pretty sure if you go to YouTube and type this match in for SummerSlam 2017, and it might be a minute 20, something like that, with the entrances and everything. The match was only 13 seconds bell to bell. I actually rewound that shit and started the timer as soon as the bell started. And when the bell clicked off, I hit stop on the timer. And it was like 13.65 or some shit like that. So, yeah, it was only like 13 seconds long. And this one is Randy Orton versus Rusev. Guys, like I said, the entrances were longer than the match. What happened was Rusev tried jumping Orton in the middle of his entrance. Well, the referee eventually got Rusev off of Orton, rang the bell. Like I said, bell to bell. He rang the bell. Randy Orton ran over to Rusev, RKO'd him, pinned him for the 1-2-3. Bell was rung again. that was the match, guys. I mean, if you don't believe me, go back and check it out for yourself. I'm sure you could find this match on YouTube. I mean, I don't know if WWE would have it, but I'm sure you can probably find someone that's put it on WWE. And if you can't find it on WWE, I'm sure if you just Google it, it'll pop up. Either between YouTube or Daily Motion, I'm sure. So I'm sure you can find it. But if you have the network, you can always go back there and get it too. So like I say, Randy Orton walked away with the win. I can't really rate this match because it really wasn't much of a match. But that was your match. So I have a feeling this isn't the last we've seen of Randy Orton versus Rusev. I have a feeling this is just the beginning. Alright, here's the fifth match. Make sure I'm counting. Yep. Fifth match on the night was Sasha Banks, the Boss, versus Alexa Bliss, Little Miss Bliss, for the Raw Women's Championship. By this point, you kind of hear the crowd starting to get tired. I was starting to get a little tired watching it by this point. So Sasha and Alexa really didn't get quite the respect they deserved. It wasn't a bad match. It was pretty entertaining. Anytime you get Sasha in the ring, you always know you're going to have a really good match. Sasha's a phenomenal... Trying to get away from that word, guys. Sasha's an amazing performer. Probably another one of the best women working right now. I gotta say, between Sasha, Natty, they're my two favorite. And Sasha's probably my favorite on the Raw brand. And on the SmackDown brand, I would say Natalya is my favorite. And, I mean, that really kind of goes to say that Sasha is deserving of everything. And, I mean, hell, she's a former champion. She's been champion a few times. I'm kind of fuzzy on the number of times because when she had that feud with Charlotte, goddamn, that title changed back and forth so much, I kind of ended up losing count at that point. But she's been champion quite a few times, and I think she might actually tie Ric Flair and John Cena for a number of championships held eventually throughout her career, which would be kind of a cool feat. But I don't know. They might end up doing that with Charlotte, considering Charlotte is Flair's daughter. But I'm just saying, I have a feeling Sasha's got quite a few title rings left in her career. I mean, she's only just beginning, and she's already held the title, I want to say, at least 8 times. And she walked away with the title again. So I'm sure with this one, it is at least 8 times. I may be wrong on that, so don't quote me. I'll do a little bit of research and get back to you guys on that one. But yeah, I mean, she's held the title for quite a few times, and she walked away with the W again. I'm sure next pay-per-view, I think it's No Mercy for the Raw brand, was going to be a rematch between Sasha and Alexa. I'm sure they've mentioned it on Raw if by the time you're listening to this, but you got to remember, when I'm recording this, I haven't seen Raw yet. Raw and SmackDown haven't aired, so yeah, it's kind of one of those things to where I'm sure in the future, you guys already know when I'm talking about this, but it's just kind of one of those things to where it's not available. This knowledge isn't available to me as I'm speaking, because I am recording this on a Monday before 7 o'clock. So yeah, there's that. So the next match was the Demon King, which they actually did mention him as the Demon King, which I was happy. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And this was actually a pretty good match. This one kind of brought the crowd back to their feet and excited the crowd again. The crowd got a little bit more involved with this one. They were excited. They were happy about this one. And they were pretty lively the whole time. Balor got an amazing pop when he came out as the Demon King. A lot of people were waiting for this to happen. And toward the end of the match, he got a really big pop when he won. So, I mean, two big pops for Balor, which that's all you can ask for, right? When you're out there performing, is to get a good pop. Talking about this Balor-Wyatt match, I just want to point out there was one thing that really kind of stuck out to me as far as the commentating. And during the match, Balor and Wyatt were fighting outside, and Corey Graves mentions a specific part of anatomy while when they were wrestling on the steps and everything. And one of the other commentators, I want to say it was Cole, pointed it out, saying, "Oh, that's very specific." And I agree with Corey Graves on this because it helped me out a lot in high school. I learned, Corey Graves says, "Well, I've learned most of my anatomy. I learned most of my anatomy watching WWE." And you know what? I caught that when he said it, and it made a lot of sense to me, and it resonated with me. And that's just something I just never really shook, is that one line right there, just because it's true for me too. I gotta say, when I was doing my bones and muscles test and everything in high school, I think it was high school health, might have been junior high, but when I had to do anatomy and health and everything, and I had to learn all the different parts of the body and muscles and bones and all that other stuff to study, I wasn't really really hardcore book studier. I could learn from books, but it always just bored me, so I didn't really ever try to. When I had to study for this test, I went back and I pretty much just binge-watched all kinds of old tapes and everything that of old wrestling matches where JR commentated on and stuff. I want to say JR probably taught me over half of my anatomy and yeah, shout out to you, JR. I'm sure you probably, I don't know if you listen to this or not. You probably don't. I'm sure you probably got a lot more important things to do, you know, being out there making that money and keeping yourself busy. But you really taught me a lot as far as anatomy and everything growing up. And I know what I learned where where your gluteus was between you. I learned the cranium. I learned appendix and many other things from you. I learned where my fibia was, and I can't even name the different parts of the body I've learned from you, JR. JR really taught me a lot as far as anatomy, and I just love the fact that he was always so technical and always so professional when he spoke, and he made sure he always knew. He just happened to name out the body parts and name muscles and bones and everything. And he really helped me out as far as that. And because of JR, I aced my test for my anatomy, because if it wasn't for WWE or wrestling in general and JR, I probably would have flunked that motherfucker so bad it wouldn't have been funny. So, swig a beer for JR. All right. That was a pretty good beer, by the way. moving on. There's one more thing I wanted to mention to you guys about this Balor-Wyatt match. I just kind of want to throw a little joke towards you and everything. And that is, have you ever noticed, you know that one part where Bray Wyatt does his taunt where he goes over to the turnbuckle, leans on it, you know, taps his foot or whatever, taps the front of his foot. Then he does his lean back, and I want to call it the spider crawl, where he's like, all he does the full back arch and he crawls backwards. Well, I noticed he almost fucked up this last Sunday. He came really close, and I wonder if he's ever done this at a live event. If he has, please write about it, because I'm just kind of curious, and stupid shit like this just kind of makes me curious. Has he ever fucked up while he was doing his little spider crawl thing and accidentally, like, because his hair, he's got such long hair and everything, and sometimes it just seems to kind of go all over the place. Has he ever actually stepped on his own hair with his hands or anything and fucking tripped himself up? Because I've never seen him do it, but I want to know how many times he practiced that crawl before he got it right. And If he's ever done that, if you guys have ever seen him at a live event and you've seen him do that, just let me know, just because I'm not trying to make fun of him or anything, but I just think it'd be kind of funny if he has, you know, kind of made that mistake before and, you know, kind of pulled his own hair while he was doing his little spider crawl thing, because, quite frankly, I just think it'd be funny. But that's just kind of, you know, a little bit of ha-ha stuff for the moment, and it's probably not that funny to you guys, but it's just kind of something that's in my mind, and I was just kind of wondering about. So, if he has, just let me know. If not, then, oh, well, you know, it's just kind of a cool idea and just one of those weird things that I think about and probably no one else does. So, moving on to the next match was Rollins versus Ambrose versus Cesaro and Sheamus for the Raw Tag Team titles. Cesaro and Sheamus, you're defending champions. There we go. Yeah, I was drawing a blank there, guys. I don't know what was going on. All right, well, let's get into this. It was a good match all in all. I want to say it kind of ran just a little bit long, but not too long. It was entertaining. Crowd really popped for Rollins and Ambrose. I was hoping that they'd come out to, as a tag team entrance instead of individually. But, you know, all in due time. I'm sure in the future on Raw, maybe they have. Maybe they've got their own tag team championship or to their own tag team entrance or whatever. Maybe they stake to their singles entrances. Just kind of curious on what they've done to kind of reinvent the Shield, if you will. And Rollins and Ambrose walk away with the W. I mean, that's all there is to it. I'm sure No Mercy, we'll see Cesaro and Sheamus versus Rollins and Ambrose with the rematch. If not, then possibly maybe the Hardys. We'll have to find out. I'm sure, like I said, if you've already watched Raw, you might know what's going on. So yeah, Rollins and Ambrose, new tag champions, yet again. So out of the five matches so far for a title, five out of five have been crowned a new champion. Well, we're about ready to hit a Yahtzee. Oh, wait, I think there's only five to a Yahtzee. Anyway, we're about ready to hit the fucking jackpot because guess what? There's only two matches left in the whole pay-per-view. And both of them are for championships. So let's get into the rest of this and see if we do hit the fucking jackpot and every fucking title changes hands. So let's get into AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title with Shane O'Mac as the referee. Very, very good match. Wasn't boring at all. Crowd popped good for Shane. The crowd popped good for Styles. They popped good for Owens. Popped good for the whole match. And it was very entertaining. Shane O'Mac, he didn't have a normal referee shirt on, which I didn't expect him to. He had his own little jersey going on. He had the Shane O'Mac referee jersey. I'm just kind of like we've seen in the past, only a little spiced up for SummerSlam, you know, SummerSlam logo and shit on it. But Shane O'Mac was very lenient on the rules, kind in a way. And Shane O'Mac lenient on the rules. And Styles and Owens, they had a couple false finishes, if you will. There was a point where AJ Styles thought he won, and because Owens tapped out, but Styles was outside, but Shane had been knocked outside of the ring. I think played a little too much into the whole knock the referee down thing, because I mean Shane seemed to be kind of getting thrown around like a rag doll in a way throughout the match. But all in all, it was a good match. And Styles actually was the first champion of the night to retain his championship and successfully defend. And stay the U.S. championship for a little bit longer. And Kevin Owens, you're just going to have to go back to the back of the line, buddy. I'm sorry. Now, here's the main event of the night. And before we get to the main event of the night, I just want to say that after the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view, that was the Mae Young Classic Bracketology, and I don't know if you guys have watched this or not, but if not, you can find it on YouTube. I highly recommend going and watching it, because it's actually pretty cool, guys. I mean, I think this Mae Young Classic is going to be awesome, and I kind of hope they keep things like this yearly thing. I wouldn't mind seeing another Cruiserweight Classic where, you know, whoever, again, you know, I think they should keep these classic tournaments, you know, Cruiserweight Classic, Mae Young Classic, UK tournament, these tournaments that they do, you know, I think they should do them like an annual thing and just, you know, whoever the best of the best of for Cruiserweights is this year goes on to face the champion, you know. Maybe do it like a WrestleMania thing, maybe Cruiserweight Classic for WrestleMania. I mean, it anything is possible. And I hope this Mae Young Classic, you know, it kind of brings maybe, I mean, I think they're going to get a trophy. I think that's what I've seen advertised. But maybe they'll do something where the winner gets, maybe not on the main roster, but gets the number one contender spot for, Asuka's, women's championship there on NXT. I think that'd be kind of a cool deal. Is, well, you're getting signed to NXT, you come in as a number one contender for the women's title, Matt, women's NXT championship. I mean, no, it's not a main roster championship, but hey, it's a championship nonetheless, and I mean, that could put you at the front of the NXT brand, and NXT is becoming a main event brand in its own right. I mean, it's kind of molding itself away from the WWE and becoming its own brand and its own thing. So, I mean, it being Women's NXT Championship would be almost just as coveted as being a Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship at this point. Not quite, but it's getting there. So, yes, yeah, it's yet to be seen. So, with that being said, let's go on to the main event, which was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal, the modern name Maharaja. I don't think I rolled my R's quite that well, but I tried, guys. I tried. That's all I can do in this life is try. All right. It was actually a very, very entertaining match. Oh, wait. This wasn't the main event. What the hell am I thinking? I did just fucking April Fooled you guys. Actually, I April Fooled myself. There's one more match after this. But this was the co-main event, I guess. The main event before the main event. Because the main event was kind of a disaster in a way. But we'll get to that in a minute. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal is actually a very good match. Shinsuke, I actually thought was going to walk away with the W, but tricked me. They fucking tricked me, guys. And Jinder Mahal walked away with the win due to interruption between the Singh brothers, and they kind of caused the distraction. Shinsuke took them out just like Randy Orton has done before. Turns around and receives the finisher from Jinder Mahal, the 1-2-3, and Mahal retains the championship and goes on to fight another day. And Shinsuke, guy, yeah, you maybe, hopefully this isn't the last we see of Shinsuke and Mahal, because it was actually a very good match, and I wouldn't mind seeing another one at the next pay-per-view. All right, so yeah, second, two out of two. So two out of the five, two out of seven so far have retained. Sorry, I keep changing the numbers on you, but it's been two out of seven so far have retained. Five out of seven have been changed. So as far as titles, so let's see what the main event entails. The main event was your fatal four-way between Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Brock Lesnar. Sorry, guys, my throat's a little, so I can't really say it exactly like Paul Heyman, but I'm trying, guys, I'm trying. It was a pretty good match as well. Kind of a disaster in a way, but it's about what you come to expect between Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe. I mean, you can kind of figure it was going to be complete destruction, and it was. Everywhere you look, stuff was getting destroyed, stuff was getting broke. One thing that really shocked me and kind of an OMG moment was Strowman putting Brock Lesnar through through an announcer table and then taking said announcer table to next to the announcer table that the Spanish announce table, all right? Well, the announce table that Corey Graves and that and Raw announce team, you know, the English announce team was sitting at. He went and he grabbed that one, grabbed it by the side, and he just flipped it up over on top of Lesnar. So he put Lesnar through the first one, through one, and then the one sitting next to it, he just dumped it on top of it and turned it over on top of Lesnar. That was kind of cool. And it actually looked like it kind of crushed Lesnar a little bit. I'm sure it was set up. I'm sure they knew they were going to do it. But nonetheless, it really kind of had me concerned for Brock Lesnar for a second and his well-being in the match. And it suspended my belief nonetheless. I mean, yeah, after the match is over, you know, I realize it's all for show, and it's all a show, and it's all entertainment. Hence the E and WWE. But it suspended my belief in the moment, and that's what I want. Is I want my belief to suspended in the moment, and I want to be entertained. And I was very entertained at that moment. And Lesnar ended up getting carted out on a stretcher, I believe. And nonetheless, comes back out and retains with that W. Hopefully at SummerSlam, this isn't the last we've seen between Strowman and Lesnar. I have a feeling that sometime soon we'll see Lesnar Strowman again. I kind of don't want to see it too soon, though. I kind of hope they kind of hold that one off, though, a little bit, because that would be a good Royal Rumble-worthy match, or even a good WrestleMania-worthy match. But then again, I mean, Samoa Joe and Lesnar's a good WrestleMania-worthy match, too. So, I mean, you got numerous possibilities in this one for who could face Lesnar at WrestleMania or Royal Rumble. I mean, either one of these three guys between Joe, Reigns, and Strowman could face Lesnar one-on-one at, and those are potentially either one of those three competitors versus Lesnar between Joe, Reigns, and Strowman. I got it right that time, guys. It would be a great one-on-one match for either Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. I mean, those are all WrestleMania-worthy matches right there. The last time we seen Joe versus Lesnar, actually looked like Lesnar almost lost the match, so I wouldn't mind seeing another one of those and maybe seeing the Beast do get conquered by Samoa Joe. I mean, Samoa Joe's a badass, and that would really cement his legacy as a destroyer. Then again, I mean, seeing Braun Strowman mutilate Brock Lesnar and, you know, not necessarily squash him, but actually defeat the Beast would really cement Strowman as Monster Among Men. I mean, either one of these three guys, if they were to defeat Lesnar, their career's not going to go anywhere but up, guys. But nonetheless, Lesnar did walk away with a W for this one, and it didn't really hurt anybody's career, the fact that they lost, because all four competitors in this one went through hell, and they put each other through hell. I mean, it was very destructive, very violent match, which that's what I expected to see. I expected to see shit get destroyed. I expected to see complete carnage, and that's what it was. I mean, it was kind of a disaster, but because there was just so much going on at once. But, I mean, that's what you come to expect when you get these four big guys in there, is there's just so much going on that you can't concentrate on one thing. But nonetheless, that's the show. That was the SummerSlam show. I mean, you could tell the crowd was kind of tired by this point. They popped a little bit for him, but by this point, they were running into their sixth hour of being out there. They were tired. They were ready to go home. Then what can you expect for these guys? I mean, yeah, they're seeing these four great superstars, but when you're tired, you're tired. I mean, that's the risk they run by running a six-hour program, is your fans are going to be tired, and you might not get the reaction you want. Excuse me, guys. But nonetheless, that's the show for the SummerSlam review. Just a little bit of an update. I am going to be reviewing the Uncharted 4 Lost Legacy next week on my show. That'll give me about a little under a week to play it. I'm sure I could probably have it beat in a couple days. And depending on when I record my show, I might already have it beat for next week. When I record my show for next week. And yeah, that's that for you guys. Like I said, I'm going to review Uncharted Lost Legacy. We're going to look at maybe reviewing Life is Strange Before the Storm when it comes out. Just depends. I rented Uncharted. I don't know if I'll be able to rent Life is Strange. I might have to go ahead and fork out the money to buy it when I can. So when I get paid, I'll probably do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and review these games for you guys. Not right now, but eventually I will get to the point where I will just go ahead and post a little bit of gameplay with my podcast for the video game review. That's the podcast. And, remember, you can find me on Twitter at OnlyOneCJack. Just a reminder for those of you that have stuck with us and may have forgot the first few parts of the podcast, I am going to be dropping it now on Thursdays on Castbox. You can go to castbox.fm to find that website, or you can download the app from the Google Play or the iTunes Store. It's completely free of charge. I'm not being paid to promote these guys at all. I just want you to be able to listen to my podcast and want you guys to be able to get a hold of it. They don't charge me nothing to upload it, so I can give this to you guys for free. I do this for free. I'm a fan. I'm doing this for the fans, and I'm just kind of getting my companion out there, getting my thoughts and my reactions out there, and I hope you guys enjoy it and take it for what they are, and they're complete bullshit. You let me know they're complete bullshit, and I'll respect your opinion on it. So until next time, this has been the C-Jack Podcast. I am C-Jack, and I will catch your ass later. Bye.